The Holy Gospel this morning is from Matthew, the 14th chapter, 13 to 21. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So, last night I told them I had to arrange my 45 pages here and take up a little bit of your time. So, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I know you're might be expecting the preacher to come down and talk to you and so on, and quite frankly, I would, but I don't like the stairs. I know there's a ramp. This is a gospel lesson that most of you, and possibly all of you, are familiar with. You might think that it would be easy to prepare a message because of that, but the reality is that it's really much harder. This is version 6, I think. What could be said that you haven't heard before? Or is it something that needs to be repeated often? Actually, my hope is that you might hear a little of both. What needs repeating, and hey, maybe you might get some new insights, I don't know. As the gospel said, Jesus had just recently been informed of the beheading of John the Baptist. Jesus wanted to get away. But before we examine the rest of the gospel, we should review the story, or some of the story, of John and Jesus. John and Jesus were very close. John was Elizabeth's son. That's the same Elizabeth whom Mary visited during her pregnancy while Elizabeth was also pregnant. You see, Jesus and John were cousins. Well, in that period of history, extended families were very close. Often pilgrimaging together to Jerusalem for religious festivals. I hope you can imagine Jesus and John playing together on the trip, much like you might have taken kids to Disney and they were playing in the back seat. Knowing my kids, well, it wasn't always so friendly. I hope John and Jesus were beyond that. John grew up, became a prophet, proclaiming and baptizing. Hey, he lived on locusts and honey out in the wilderness. John came and baptized Jesus, saying he was not worthy to even tie Jesus' sandals. And of course, there was the voice of God. "This is my own beloved on whom my favor rests." Afterwards, Jesus also went into the desert. I wonder if this is a rite of passage. John had been in the wilderness, now Jesus. This reminds me of early Native American youth. My wife and I served with Native American communities for 25 years. Some of that tradition still survives. But youth, men, boys, really, would need to go into the wild, alone, fasting, where they would find the man they were to become. And so Jesus, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, not three, was tempted by the devil. "Turn these stones into bread to assuage your hunger. Throw yourself down from the temple, and the angels will save you." "Oh, still not enough? I will give you all the world if you worship me," says the devil. Remembering that Jesus is God, but also human, is this where he comes to understand his mission? So Jesus, after being tempted, does send the devil away, and then the angels come and attend to him. While Jesus was out in the wilderness, John was continuing with his ministry, gathering hundreds and thousands of people. John was promising a Messiah, and the people were ready for one. This made those in authority very anxious. John was arrested. Pharisees were afraid of losing their power. Now, Jesus came out of the wilderness. He went back to Galilee and then continued what John taught, proclaiming, "Change your hearts and your minds, for the kingdom is at hand." You heard about that last week. And so over these weeks, you have heard about Jesus calling his disciples, healing the sick and lame, ministering to every need. He too was now gathering people by the hundreds and thousands. Like John before, he was teaching the people. You have heard about Jesus delivering the Sermon on the Mount, telling the people how to live, and then also how to pray. Jesus drives out demons and raises a girl from the dead. John may have been a mentor for Jesus, but we have no record of John ever being able to do any of these things. While John languishes in prison, Jesus' popularity grew. At sight of crowds, Jesus' heart was moved by pity. The need is so great, so very great, that he sends his disciples now out with authority to expel evil spirits and heal sickness and diseases of every kind. Whoa. The Pharisees challenge Jesus, for they are still afraid, not only of his growing throngs, but of, get it, the loss of their own political power. And then Jesus heals on the Sabbath, And now the Pharisees are aghast, and they plot against him. Now, you may know all this biblical history. You have been in Bible study classes. Some of you faithfully here every Sunday to hear the word. You have the background to understand the situation that was here. But restarting to the beginning, to the very start of this, there's something else for you to understand. The death of John and how it must have affected Jesus. So, as I look out to you now, I see those of you who have suffered loss. Some of you have lost a mother, a father, or a spouse. Some of you may have lost a child. Other close relatives, special close friends, or mentors are gone from you now. It is the kind of grief that affects you physically, turning your stomach ache, and emotionally, wondering if it's worth to even carry on. You have suffered. You may still be suffering grief. Grief, it doesn't go away, becomes less over time. So now we have Jesus just learning of John's violent death, just now. Because you have suffered, maybe you can understand Jesus' feelings at this point, his emotional state. This devastation may not only be because of John's death, but also the realization that this too is likely to be his destiny. Again, remember that even though Jesus is God, he's also human, like you and me. So what does he do, even in his grief? He has compassion for the people. On Friday mornings, I join with other men in the men's Bible study at 9 o'clock. Guys, you're welcome. And during that, we use daily discipleship because it lines out something about this gospel lesson for the coming weekend. And we have a wonderful discussion. On the back, there are some contemporary explanations and situations. And as I was reading this, I said, oh, here's something. Third paragraph down. Compassion is defined in Webster's dictionary as sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. It is one thing to sympathize with someone. It is something else to feel a desire to alleviate the suffering or distress. The word compassion is composed of the prefix cum, meaning with, and patai, meaning to bear or to suffer, as in the word patience. The Greek word reflects a deep, retching movement from the depth of your bowels. In other words, Jesus responds to the suffering of people from the depth of his being. He can't bring himself to abandon the people. He has been healing them, making the lame walk, the blind to see, the deaf hear, the mute speak. They have been following him, seeking hope, words of peace, seeking news of God's love and forgiveness. They are seeking healing in and out, and he has pity. His aching heart goes out to them. Here they are, waiting. Sit on the hill. The disciples tell Jesus, oh, send the people away so they can buy food in the villages. Hey, these folks are hungry. Jesus said, no, there's no need for them to disperse. Give them something to eat yourselves. What? We have but 5 loaves and a couple of fish. Now, in some sermons, you may have heard that the real miracle is in the sharing, having people open their hearts to the need of others. It was customary back at that time for people to prepare ahead for any travel, to pack a small bundle of food. I know, living up here when we wanted to go to Florida or something, you know, you have to drive an extra day. And so, you know, yes, we'd pack a cooler. You know, kids would have sandwiches on the way down. We'd have something to drink, you know. And I'm sorry to say, we didn't stop at a rest stop. Well, we did stop at a rest stop, but we didn't share with anybody there. But they would have packed a bundle of food, something that could be shared. But this is different. This is spontaneity. Spontaneity. Oh, excuse me. There's that goes again. You know, get in the car. Let's take off and go to Florida. Shouldn't we have to gas it up? Don't we have to plan? Don't we have to pack? You know. But these people, having seen Jesus working miracles, decided to drop everything they were doing and follow him, to hear him. It is a crowd, 5,000 men, and women and children also. Wow. I think of our community meal on this coming Wednesday. We might be prepared to serve 100, maybe 110. What a difference. There's probably 10 to 12,000 people out there sitting on the grass. Are they to sit down, open their bundles, take out their Big Mac and Happy Meals, and share their fries? No. Nor did Jesus tell the people to line up, cafeteria style. Oh, men first, then women, then children. Telling the people, oh, come on forward, come get your food. That was not an option for him. He had his disciples go out among the people, distributing the food. Hey, this is another lesson for us. Get up, go out among the people, distribute the food that God has offered to us and to all people. The disciples returned with 12 baskets of leftovers. The disciples had more to offer than they thought that they had. Oh, and the disciples were also fed. So yes, go out, ministering to the poor and hungry, homeless and hurting, and you yourself may experience overflowing blessings. After all of this, Jesus sends the people back to their daily lives. Have their lives been changed? Have they found what they were looking for? Begs the question, have you? Jesus also sends his disciples to the other side of the lake by boat. Jesus finally has time alone to go up to the mountain and pray. This scripture lesson, feeding of 5,000, teaches us how much God loves us. He doesn't let us go hungry, thirsting for forgiveness, for peace and justice. Despite everything, God takes care of us. He feeds us with his grace. He also teaches us to love. Act with compassion like Jesus did, even in his own grief. Even putting others' needs before his own. At times, are we to do the same? Yes, you may be hurting. Let God be your strength. He teaches us how to do it. And this is from the funeral declaration that you may have heard recently. We comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Go out, take care of his people. Love not only with your heart, but also with your feet and hands. Remember that slogan a couple years ago? God's work, our hands. We are being sent, just like the disciples on that beach. Minister to my people is God's message. And again, go out to the people. Someone said, to close a sermon, you need to put people on the spot. So here it is. In this story, how do you see yourself? Are you the people sitting on the beach in the grass on the mountain? I'm going to tell you, you have been fed, and you will continue to be fed. Jesus, the Christ, tells you, you are my disciples. Minister to my people. Rejoice and receive God's blessing. God works miracles every day. Just be part of the miracle. Amen.